Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and happy Thursday to everyone that will be listening on the call tonight. I'm Veronica McMillan, your host of Issues Concerning Women, the radio show. My co-host Francine Humphrey is not with me tonight, but again, I will be flying solo this Thursday night, and it is a night where we're going to be discussing boards and board development for nonprofits. But before we start with our show, let me just tell you a little bit about Issues Concerning Women. Issues Concerning Women focuses on women and their families reaching long and short-term goals and assisting them in the area of business, career, housing, finance, and life skills. Issues Concerning Women was founded by Francine Humphrey, the director of Issues Concerning Women, and the Micro Nonprofit Network, basically founded by yours truly, is to help small nonprofits become foundationally strong through education, coaching, mentoring, and program development for 501c3 organizations. And I usually say both Francine and I is really about the empowerment of women in business, entrepreneurship, families, and life. And so our vision is to empower women through demonstration, through home ownership, career development, investment for retirement, exercise, nutrition, entrepreneurship, relationship building, and adult literacy programs. And I'm sure you'll probably be adding more. So in a nutshell, it really is about the empowerment of women in business and to empower families as well, because I think it's so important. And so tonight for our show, I'm really wanting to dig in and talk about boards and board development for nonprofits. So if you're not a nonprofit, this is not going to be for you tonight, but it's going to be for those individuals who basically have nonprofit organizations. And again, before I jump into that, let me give you the website information from Issues Concerning Women, and then you can reach out to Francine if you need to. So her email is icwdirector@gmail.com, and you can go to the website at issuesconcerningwomen.org. And then, of course, yours truly, you can go to info@micrononprofitnetwork.org. Or you can connect with us on the web at micrononprofitnetwork.org. So tonight, as I said, got a lot of information about nonprofits and nonprofit boards, because this is an area that typically most people struggle in, myself included, in trying to make sure that we got the right people on board and making sure that, you know, there's that delicate balance and that delicate dance that you do with people that are going to be on your board to help you move your organization along. And number one, I just want to say that if you're going to be on the board of directors, on anybody's board for that matter, understand there are two primary roles that you have, and that is the role of fiduciary and the role of governance. And once you understand that, you will really, really, really kind of find your niche or find your place. And it takes you a moment. So if you're on a board and you're new to it, give it time. And so I pulled a bunch of information tonight. And, of course, I know I won't get to it all, but I wanted to make sure that at least we had some stuff, some talking points, just like we did last week, making sure that we have these talking points so that you'll have something to take away with. So tonight I want to tell you about one resource. And so if for those of you all who have boards, this organization is really, really good for getting board material. So I want to give you that information. It's boardsource.org. You can go to their website, all spelled out one word, boardsource.org. It really is a great place. They're a little bit expensive, but they got great, great, great material, and you have to invest in your boards. You really do. So one book that I'm going to recommend that you get is called 10 Basic Responsibilities of Nonprofit Boards. and it's the governance series. They have a judiciary series. They got just a plethora of materials or what have you. And I know for myself, there's some other materials that I want to get for our board. We had our board retreat last month, and we talked a little bit about this. But basically, I think it's just great to have materials to help your people grow. And so I want to start off with basically some tips of the trade for those of you all who are in the nonprofit world and you're trying to move that board along. Because typically what happens when you start your organization, and I said this last week, you really start it based on passion. And you don't really have a lot of knowledge about organizational management and putting things into place. And after 19 years of doing this, I realized I still don't know enough. So it's that you're always under the flow of new knowledge and getting more information to support your organization, because most of us, we're founders of our organization, and we select people who we believe that can help us along, but when it's all said and done, it falls back on you as the founder, you as the executive director, you as the president of your organization. So one of the things that I said that I wanted to start with, as I said, I got so much materials here. It's hard to do all of it in a 30-minute call, and I'm probably 5 or 6 minutes into the call, and I got so much to share. So I'm going to jump right in. I'm going to make these points, and then I'm going to be sharing materials from out of the book. So when I transition to the book, I'll say, hey, I'm going to transition, and here's a great point that the book is making. So one of the things that I wrote down, I did this conference about 3 years ago, or no, 4 years ago, and says it was about forming a board, and one of the main things that I had was the board must understand the mission and the vision of the organization. You should not have a board person, and they don't know the elevator speech. They don't know the mission and the vision of the organization, because this is what keeps people, you know, down the pathway of understanding where we're going. Because when they don't understand the mission and vision, they can get all out of sync. Like one of the girls when I was working at Regent, she said, shagla bagla. They get into shagla bagla. So you don't want that to happen. So the board really has to understand your mission and your vision. And number one, you got to write the vision, and you got to make it plain and clear to them so that they understand. So when they come on board, they already know what that mission and what that vision is. And then you basically you have to go through that selection process. And here's the hard part. Here's the hard part, because most of the time I did it too, because this is my second nonprofit. Usually, what's happening, you're just selecting people. Hey, will you be the secretary? Hey, would you be the treasurer? And these people, for the most part, are going to say yes because they like you, they believe in you. But you got to empower them. You got to help them to understand what their roles are, because when they don't understand their roles of governance and judiciary, when you tell them that, listen, everybody's got to raise funds, they're looking at you like, what you talking about, raise funds? Yes, everybody needs to be investing in the organization. So what does that mean? Does that mean I am, in terms of investing in the organization, are you saying you want dollars and cents? Yes, it does. And basically, that dollars and cents, you'll look at that to see what amount is that. And so understand that if you ever sit on any board, most boards are going to want you to contribute to that organization, and rightly so, because it's very, very difficult to go before a funder, and the funder asks, well, what percentage of your board is giving? And then if you say, well, 50% of the board, or 100% of your board should be giving. And so that needs to be clear. So in that selection process, make sure that people know what the expectations are, which means you need to have a job description for your board. When that invitation letter goes out, if you haven't sent an invitation letter, then I would say for any new person that's coming on the board, send that invitation letter out and list those things that your board members should be doing, their expectations, all of that, because that it's so vitally important. So that selection process is going to be key. Look for people who have the experience that you're looking for. If you're looking for someone who has a management background or a financial background, law or what have you, look for that if that's the need for your board. And I would say, yes, that need is for all boards. but definitely look for that so that you're not dealing with people who have no experience whatsoever. They just basically, they want to help you. And in the beginning, I understand that. And so I would say that really you might even look at maybe for a little bit, maybe you just have a two-year time period for your board members so they then know that, hey, after 2 years, basically my term on the board is going to come to an end or somebody else may be elected or what have you. Whatever the reason is, make sure that that is clear. Before I move on to our next point, let me give Francine another shout-out because it's so important because the both of us do this together. We are expanding into new territories and the things that we're doing, and we're just thankful to God for what God is doing. But again, if you need to connect with Francine, she's the president and founder of Issues Concerning Women. You can reach her at icwdirector@gmail.com, or you can also reach out by the website at issuesconcerningwomen.org. And, of course, I'm Veronica McMillan, president and founder of the Micro Nonprofit Network. You can email us at info@micrononprofitnetwork.org or micrononprofitnetwork.org is our website. So let me also talk about basically making sure that the board understands their fiduciary responsibility. And I kind of alluded to that a moment ago, and that really is about making sure that the organization stays afloat in terms of its finances and making sure that there's accountability in terms of what they're doing, their role. In the book, from transitioning, here's a great point, or a section in the book. It says, provide proper financial oversight. So that's number one of the things in here. There are 10 that they give us, but the board is supposed to provide proper financial oversight. So they list three questions. So I'm going to read these three questions to you, and this is coming from the book, which I said is an absolutely great resource. So one, it says, here's question one. It says, how closely do we monitor our financial activity compared to what was budgeted? So what they're saying is if you budgeted XYZ for a program or you budgeted XYZ for you all to go to a training or something, how close is that to the budget? Did we get way off, or were we right near it, or did we come under budget? And it says, question two, what internal controls are in place for our organization, which is important. Number three, it says, what is our strategy to ensure that long-term financial health of the organization, which means that should be a part of your strategic plan. Again, that's like talking to some people talking a foreign language because they haven't even thought about a strategic plan, and they've been in, you know, they've been doing it 3, 4, 5 years, and they haven't thought about that. But you have to understand this. In the nonprofit world, basically, you're not an adult until you're about 7 to 10 years old, because it really takes you that long to really get your feet on the ground, to get stable, to really understand what you're doing. But your board is supposed to do that. They really, really, really got to have a great understanding of what financial controls are. And then it also says, it says that basically, I moved over to another sheet that I had, and board members should be in partnership with you. They got to remember that. And board members need to know what they are contributing to and for. Board members need satisfaction, a sense of achievement, and thanks. So when you get them on your board, make sure they understand what you're doing, and make sure that you thank them for what they're doing for you. It is very important. And it says board members require clear assignments. So basically, we got this big function going on, and you need to say, hey, you're going to be whomever the hey is. Person number one, you're going to be that person that's going to go and speak to all the Lions clubs or whatever. Person number two, you're going to be that person to make sure that our media coverage and all of that stuff is handled or what have you, and nobody's doing it but you. So when we have a press release that needs to go out or something, you're that person that's sort of kind of overseeing that or what have you. It's important that people know what it is, because when it's willy-nilly and it's all over the place, then you really, really, really have to make sure that that people are clear, and then that requires asking questions. That requires asking questions, and sometimes it's very difficult, when, especially when you have people on the board who really are not on board. And then I think the way to handle that, you've got to go back to your bylaws, and you also have to confront, you have to deal with the issue that's in the room, because when you don't deal with those issues, because I've seen boards go real rogue on you. I've been on a couple of boards, and I work for organizations who had very powerful boards, and I've seen it go really, really crazy. So you want to make sure that you deal with problem areas, and board members require information and guidance. You got to help them, because most people are coming on board to support you, to help you, because they want to. They believe in the mission and the vision of that organization, but it requires good information. You know, things that's not explained, or things that's kind of left dangling in the air, not good. They need that guidance to make sure that everything is going well, and this is how we're doing. Don't be afraid to bring consultants into your organization to do a training for you, and you should factor that into your budget. You should factor into your budget a stipend for board training. You should factor into your budget a training, not just in this area, but to see how other nonprofits do. So put that in your budgets, because that'll help you. Your board will appreciate that, because when they don't know, it's just hard. It really is hard for them to move in the direction that you want them to move in. And if you develop your job description well, and that is in there, they will know that they're going to get training, which is so important. Then the thing that most board members don't like is the fundraising piece, but that's a part of that fiduciary responsibility too. We got to bring monies into the organization, and we got to have an understanding that what happens when we don't have grants. When we don't have grants in the organization, where is that money going to come from? It's going to come from either you have a fee-based service that you all are providing, or you're doing great fundraisers, and you have people who are giving on a monthly basis to your organization. Those three things are very difficult to do when you first get started, because you're doing so much. But if your board understands that they got to help fundraise, when people are just sitting on the sideline and, no, Jane's going to do that, or Diane's going to do that, I'm not a person that raises funds, then you really need to think about that, which means that you might have to just kind of go back to the drawing board and saying, hey, we have to re-strategize, we're going to retool, we're going to do some things different. And for those people who like to say, this is not how we did it 2 years ago, they got to understand that you got to move. You got to move forward. For our strategy cafe, for our nonprofit partners, we're reading the book, Who Moved the Cheese? And that book is really about organizational change. And if you understand that, you've got to know that you got to change as your organization grows. You cannot stay the same. Here's a life cycle for an organization. I had that paper around here. I figured that I would mention that, and now since I said it, I can't find it. But hopefully I'll get to it before the program ends. But definitely you got to make sure that the board knows that fundraising, it is absolutely key. And then the other piece of that is just making sure that the boards have a copy of the conflict of interest. That's going to be important as well. I've seen people who don't have a conflict of interest statement. So the board is just, again, just willy-nilly just moving on their own, because that information hasn't been provided. So make sure that you provide a conflict of interest for your board of directors. Make sure you have a copy of the bylaws for them. They should know that. Make sure that you have a confidentiality statement and a board agreement form. Put everything out that's expected of your board. Don't let them come in and you haven't told them about it and you say, surprise, we're doing that. Now, that isn't right for the board members. That's why it's so important at the beginning to speak to a consultant, to really speak to a consultant about what it is that you all are going to be doing. And then also get directors and officers insurance. it's so important. I was sharing with some nonprofits the other day that protects your board. You know, without it, without directors and officers insurance, I think you're taking a risk. And I think when nonprofits just kind of take risks like that, that's the whole point of insurance, is to get the risk off of you and not get the risk off of the corporation, get the risk off of you, and have insurance for coverage, have insurance coverage for those things that pop up, things that go bump in the night, things that you weren't thinking about, and a person sues you. So you got it. You really got to really think of it from a corporation standpoint. I was saying to a group the other day, we cannot operate our organizations as if they were sole proprietorships. And that's what we typically do. We want to do that. I know for myself, when we had Let's Talk Incorporated, that's what I was doing initially. And then we started getting monies and all this stuff. And then you started getting, your funder started asking questions and all of that stuff. Then it becomes a little bit troublesome when you don't have it. So you really have to do that. And then, you know, I want to say, make sure that you have a board term. Board term is important, which is probably you're going to find that in your bylaws. These are great things to have a meeting about, to say these are the things that we want to do. For me, a board term should be no more than 3 or 4 years. For me, other people I've seen people be on board forever. The founder is going to be on the board forever. That person, because that's the vision carrier. That's the person who saw it. But for those people who are coming on board for a season, give them their season, because this is also the way that you are able to, when things are going awry, things are not going, the people are not carrying their weight, they signed the board agreement, and you said, hey, attendance is vitally important for us. We can't have 12 meetings and you've missed 8. That can't happen, and you be on the board. So that basically they understand their term, and then when that is not going right, you bring them back to the bylaws, or you basically start talking about them being removed from the board. And there are ways to do that. That's a part of the communication as a board, as a director of or founder of an organization. Make sure that communication is clear, because you're going to run into conflict. You run into conflict no matter what you do. So, but you got to make sure, try to avert some of it. Try to put yourself in a position where everything basically is clear. Communicate everything to your board. I'm sitting here looking at the sheet, and it says communicate, and help, my board is out of control. How do you get your board under control? By making sure your board understands that these are board responsibilities. Here's the board agreement. Are you adhering to that? Are you attending the board meetings as you should? Because attendance should be number one. It should be number one. So just a recap, here's some things at your board. Don't give them too much that they can't handle. They got to be able to handle, you know, what it is that you're doing, and then it has to be clear. Never promise something that you cannot deliver. That's going to be important when you're working with your board. You want to thank them often. Thank the board for the help, because they are volunteers. Your board members are not being paid to do the work. You may give them a stipend for travel or per diem for, you know, the meals when they go out of town or something like that, and training, but you just got to thank them. Have all paperwork ready so that they'll know what they need, and stay organized. What happens when you just keep delaying stuff? I sent a post to my partners the other day. I'm saying, when you constantly delay things, I'm going to put that off for later, you will create a habit of not getting things done. And that's what happens. You're creating a habit where things are not getting done. So your board, they should know when the board meetings are. How often are you all having board meetings? And so for us, our organization, we meet quarterly. But everybody knows we meet quarterly. You need to set a time for that board meeting. Our board meeting time is usually in the evening, about 7 p.m., because my son is out in Atlanta, and he's in law school right now. But 7 p.m. is our board time. When I had one before, we met on a Sunday at 2 o'clock. And we were meeting every other month. And they knew it. They knew it like clockwork. So people can put that on their schedule. People can put that as a part of their time. And you'll have that because, again, they need to know. They need to know where the meeting is going to be. Is it going to always be at Starbucks? Is it going to always be at the office? Is the library? Where is the meeting going to be? That's so important. And then how long is it going to be? We're hoping that we're not having a three-hour board meeting. For your special meetings, it may get long. But an hour and a half to 2 hours is probably good enough for a board. And then you really have to deal with your issues. And I've said that before, really deal with the issues that people have on the board, because when you don't deal with it and you allow it to go on and on and on. I said this the other day because I was listening to T.D. Jakes' thing, their Pastors and Leaders Conference for 2019, and one of the speakers said that when you have a problem and you don't deal with it, sooner or later you become the problem. You become the problem because you did not deal with the issue. And so on board, get that done. Work with agendas. So usually what you should do is have your board agenda ready for everybody, and it's possible. Try to send your agenda out before. Now I got to get good at that because I have not. I usually basically have the agenda available when everybody gets here or what have you, but I'm not sending it out in advance. So I just caught my own self on something that I was not doing, and that was sending it out in advance. So if the meeting is on Friday, get everybody the agenda by Wednesday, so at least they know what it's going to be. And then have your reports and things available and action items with assignments, whatever it is that we're supposed to be doing, making sure that we're doing it. And then, you know, deal with the problems. I keep saying that over and over again because of the fact that these are some of the things that that boards have problems with. Here's another from the book. As we're getting close to our end, it says, ensure legal and ethical integrity and maintain accountability. And one of the questions, well, a couple of questions is here. How does the board ensure that the organization keeps up to date on laws and regulations affecting nonprofit organizations? I'm going to read that again because I think sometimes that we all have that issue. So I'm going to read it again. It says, how does the board ensure that the organization keep up to date on the laws and the regulations affecting nonprofit organizations? One of the things that we're doing for our cafe is we're bringing, for one of our cafe strategy cafe sessions, is bringing an attorney in to talk to us about our program, you know, what we're doing, nonprofit laws, all of that stuff, so that we are aware. And I think you have to look at that, because without it, as I said, you're just kind of floating around in the air. And do you have clear and appropriate organizational policies? Here's another one that I'm finding. Organizations don't have clear and organizational policies. They don't have them. They don't have board manuals or anything. And this becomes problematic when you don't have that. And that's one of the things that we're doing with our partners is I gave them a checklist. And that checklist was probably about 30 different items that they have to just check on and start working on, because if you're not working on it, it gets away from you. And I know, as I said, I've been doing this 19 years, and it is something else. So definitely you want to think about those things that I've shared. So before we get off the air, I want to share again Francine's contact information. Francine is the president and founder of Issues Concerning Women. And her email is icwdirector@gmail.com. You can connect with her at issuesconcerningwomen.org. And if you want to connect with yours truly, Veronica McMillan at info@micrononprofitnetwork.org, or you can just go to the micrononprofitnetwork.org and for more information. It's been a blast talking with everybody tonight on nonprofits, board members, and all of that stuff. It's an ongoing process, so it was about the nonprofits tonight, but I thank you all so very much for being a part of our show. We look forward to seeing you all next Thursday, and hopefully Ms. Francine Humphrey will be on the show with me. So take care, be blessed, and know that God loves you and we do too. Take care now. Bye-bye.